12?
It's just after I see a movie, I like to go get a piece of pie and talk about it. It's sort of a little tradition I have. Do you like to get pie after you see a good movie?
Welcome to another movie podcast, the show that loves translating codename Pineapple into alien circle words. I am Oscar, and with me today is...
Luke.
And
the longest 5 seconds ever, Ralph.
Longest 5 seconds?
It was the longest countdown ever. 5, 4.
Oh, because he distracted me. Anyway, today's show will compose of 3 films, and this is funny because lately we've been having, last 3 shows or so, we've been having films that have like really long titles. This time, we have 3 movies with 1-word titles. We begin with Arrival, this show. We'll continue with Moonlight, the latest indie film coming out of, I think it came out of Sundance or one of those festivals.
Cannes?
Maybe Cannes. And then we'll end our show with a review of the documentary, political documentary, Scandal, Wiener. So those 3 films. Wiener can be found on rental, by the way, anywhere you want. Feedback can always be sent to podmoviecast@gmail.com. Otherpodcast.com is our website where all our shows, current shows, news for our next ones, and bonus information is available. The bonus show for this month, the month of November, which will come out for any donators of any amount, will come out on December 1st, is going to be Doctor Strange, the latest Marvel Cinematic Universe film. So if you're interested in that huge film, which I think is still in the lead right now, maybe not, I'm not 100%.
I'm not too sure, but
it came out,
sure it is.
When we're recording this, it came out a week and a half ago. And it was kind of a hit, and I think we all enjoyed it. So if you want to listen to intricate details about our opinions on that, check out our bonus page at otherpodcast.com for more info. All right. But before we continue to our main reviews this evening, guys, let's talk first about what we've been watching. Ralph, we're going to start with you today. You've been watching a documentary? Oh, you saw a documentary? Is that what that is?
Yeah, it's a documentary. It's a Netflix original.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's called 13th. I forget the director.
Ava DuVernay.
There you go. Same person who did that one movie that we saw that me and you liked last year.
Selma. Was that last year or the year before?
Might have been the year. No, it was last year.
Was it? Okay.
It was like cusp. End of the year, I think, we saw.
Okay.
And then I think it came out, like... Yeah, I think it was last year.
I'm sure you're right.
It doesn't matter.
Don't remember.
Regardless, 13th, it talks about the 13th Amendment. And basically, it's an interesting doc that Netflix told me, you should watch this because you'd like it. And I was like, okay, I'll watch it. It was one of those highlight things. I'll read the quick description on IMDb. It's an in-depth look at the prison system in the United States and how it reveals the nation's history of racial inequality. So it's pretty cool. If you ever want to know about that,
right? I heard that this film really encompasses like a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it does a great job of that prison system stuff. It kind of talks mainly about like how and why the prison system kind of changed specifically, and it was due to the fact that like, hey, like you're no longer a free man or what's it called a citizen, right, in the United States if you are put in the prison system. So the way around the 13th Amendment, which is like, you know, no slaves allowed, is basically how can we do that? We put you guys in prison. So they basically changed the whole laws in a lot of the southern countries southern states, and, you know, like for misdemeanors to like you go to jail for those times, you know, for everything. So basically they would make you go and still work the fields and work the stuff, and they would get a lot of black people like that. So you'd have an influx of people, of black people, who were now free, but now they had a misdemeanor for talking back or whatever, something stupid. Now they're in jail, and now they're no longer free people because technically they're not considered their prisoners, you know?
Right.
So they got up to do things like work on railroads or work on destroying railroads or whatever the hell they did.
Right.
Stuff like that of nature.
Back then.
You know, all that stuff. And it talks about that and how overall where we are now from when the 13th Amendment was passed and how it's changed, how big the prison system has gotten. All of that is really cool, and you should watch it for that reason. What's sad is...
It seems very important to, like, very...
Yeah, yeah. What I don't like about the movie is almost the very end. And it brings up, and I get why they did it, but at the same time, I just felt like it was very heavy-handed, and you'll see it. They bring up the political... environment that we're in right now, or that we were in with Trump and Hillary.
Hillary, yeah.
I couldn't think of her name.
We forgot. She lost. Forget
she lost. Who gives a fuck?
Who gives a fuck?
So Trump's got names on buildings. No. So we have. So it's and it's kind of like you should choose. Make sure you choose right. And it's like, don't choose Trump. It was basically a campaign for. It almost felt like a campaign for that at the very end. Sort of. And they blame Hillary on a lot of things also, and Clinton in general, or what's his name?
The
husband.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton. So, go figure, the most common names I can't remember. Yeah, so, I mean, some of it is gold, but I just felt like that end part, I don't think I needed it. I think I did a great job everywhere else.
Hmm.
But it does bring you to the fact that, like, they're trying to change things now, and how do you show people that where it is now, you know, like, and they go into that forum. So they are speaking about it literally in the 2016 year, like what's going on. So it does feel like I get why they did it, but I just feel like it would be a stronger movie 20 years from now without that, you know?
Yeah, I see what you mean.
So but that's 13th. So that's 13th. Overall, I did like it though.
Okay. And that's on Netflix. A Netflix original?
Yeah, it's a Netflix original.
Nice. Luke, I think you're next. Do you have a documentary as well?
Yep, I saw a documentary called I Am Thor. It is about John Michael Thor, who was a bodybuilding, steel-bending, brick-smashing rock star in the 70s and 80s, whose theatrical band Thor never quite made it big. Years later, he attempts a comeback that nearly kills him.
Okay. Well, what's it? Is it about his comeback mainly?
Well, first it starts off as, you know, his origin story, you know.
Yeah, every documentary.
Like, you know,
yeah.
From Canada. Like, his brother was into bodybuilding, so he found all those magazines and he started doing that. It became huge in Canada. And I think he won the Mr. Canada and the U.S. one, too. So he did that for a while. Then he started, like, this band concept of, like, because he always listened to music when he worked out. And they gave him more, like, pump to it. So he developed this, like, body rock type of thing. But that quickly phased out. And he got into actual metal. And then, you know, he just never got big. And then over the years, you know, he gave up. Then after a while, he got persuaded to go back on the road. And it's kind of like that feel-good story. But then, you know, he's on the road and he gets, like, this, I think, heart attack.
How old is he at this point?
He was probably, like, their 40s or 50s.
Okay.
I mean, he's 63 right now.
Okay.
And I just saw him last week.
What do you mean saw him?
He played in Chicago.
Oh, okay. You literally saw him. Yeah. Got it.
So
I thought you meant like a picture or something.
So he's like blind in one eye. He's got to take all this medication and everything.
Hmm.
He plans his... He doesn't have a manager. He does everything himself. Hmm. He's like the most determined guy.
What do you think of the movie?
Oh, it's a very like feel-good type of deal.
Okay.
Yeah.
You guys,
definitely cool.
I mean, if you could see exchanges between Luke and Oscar, it's the best sometimes. Just like Luke is like wanting to say more, and Oscar's like, give me more.
But not
and
that.
There's nothing there, and you're just staring.
So I'm like, what
and
the
I'm just
fuck
looking
did
at
you
both
think
of them until
the
Oscar goes, what else? It's like Luke waits on that. It's perfect. Sorry to interrupt you, Luke. I apologize.
That was great.
It's not perfect, though. It's worth
yeah, this documentary, you could watch it on Netflix. That's where I saw it.
It is on there.
Yeah, because last year, actually, in Chicago, they had like a release party for this movie.
Oh, okay.
And Thor played after that. So.
Do you like, on a personal basis, do you like the band? What do you think of the band?
It's very, just, you know.
Generic metal?
It's generic metal. It's very, like, epic. He's got a very, like, he's got this Thor persona down. He's got all these, like, masks on that he, like, switches off between on stage, you know.
Obviously, I mean, is the music about the god?
Yeah, some of them are. Yeah.
Or demigod? What is he? What is he? Viking god.
Actually, back in his prime, because now he's like, he got fat and you know, he's in the 60s, mm-hmm. but he's still rocking. But right. Back in his prime, Stanley was like, if there's ever a Thor movie, you are going to be it at the time.
At that time, yeah.
He did a couple movies though, but it was all like B movies.
Wasn't Vincent D'Onofrio, he didn't play Thor, but he played the image of Thor in Adventures in Babysitting, right?
I think
was
he
that
was.
Vincent D'Onofrio?
I'm pretty sure.
Actually, he was supposed to be in that movie.
You're kidding me.
He was, but the guy that replaced him, like they bought out his contract, so he wasn't in the movie. But that was gonna be his like break into like an A movie.
Well, that would have been. I would have seen him. I would have met. Yep. I would have known this guy because I saw hell out of that movie. Yeah.
He would have literally been the God of Thunder.
Yeah.
So no, people, he worked. He used the mechanic that fixed her tire.
Yeah, I remember,
yeah. I think that's Vincent D'Onofrio.
No, I'll Google it.
Google it. I'm not gonna do it. But All right, I am next. I'm last here, actually. I've also seen, not a documentary, though, but it's a regular old movie, guys. But oddly enough, it is slightly about history. I saw a movie called Last Days in the Desert. This is written and directed by Rodrigo Garcia, who did, the only thing I really know him for is some of his In Treatment work. He did some work on that show, the HBO show, a few years ago. More than a few, actually. Like 10. Let me read the description for you guys. I'm IMDb. An imaged... Yeah, that's Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah, that's him.
Well, check if he... I don't know. It doesn't matter. Anyway, let me read this thing. An image.
That was from the Adventures in Babysitting page.
Oh, that is? Okay, good. Yeah. An image chapter from Jesus' 40 days of fasting and praying in the desert. On his way out of the wilderness, Jesus struggles with the devil over the fate of a family in crisis. Have you guys heard of this movie?
No.
No.
No, really? Should it stars... I guess not.
What's the title again?
You've been so depressed.
Last Days in the Desert. Nope. I'm just in a room with a bunch of no cinephiles. okay, so it starts with Ewan McGregor.
We just saw two documentaries about things that you've never seen about, and you probably want to watch, and you're calling us not.
But I've heard of them.
You never heard of I Am Thor?
Well, I don't care about that one.
Okay, fuck you.
I'm sorry. I care about the important one. Sorry, I have to say that. Let's just make fun of our picks. Anyway, Last Days in the Desert. Read the description. It says Ewan McGregor. He plays Jesus, but he also plays the devil.
Wait.
In the movie.
Jesus?
Jesus.
Oh, shit.
Jesus Christ. That Jesus.
Okay.
I don't know how to pronounce his name. I'm going to try. Karen Hines or Ciaran? It's pronounced Ciaran, but I'm sure that's not it. Karen Hines is in it. Ty Sheridan, isn't it? And Ayelet Azur.
These sound like made-up names.
No. Ty Sheridan is kind of... Well, he's been in stuff. If you see his face, like, oh, yeah, I know him. Anyway, he's a good actor. So this film is very, very interesting. This seems to be like both a spotlight for actors, because it's only like four actors in the entire movie. Five characters, and four of them are actors. And Ewan McGregor is...
I'm showing him who Ty
is. I just saw who Ty Sheridan was.
Okay.
Yeah. Scott Summers, Cyclops, and
Apocalypse. I feel like I'm talking to the wall. I don't know what I was saying.
Movie for actors, for their acting abilities.
Well, for Ewan McGregor, anyway.
Oh, okay.
It looks like it's a movie all about him, right?
Yeah, he did write or direct it, like Pastoral, obviously, but yeah. And because it looks actually well directed and stuff. That's fucked up. That's how it is. He is both Jesus and the devil, and. What it's funny because it just takes something that we never knew what happened otherwise in the desert back then when he was walking and fasting, but like they put him in a situation where the devil is almost it's like having fun with Jesus and having fun with just him around and obviously mocking God every day, every step of the way and all this stuff and then Jesus has to like because he only appears to him. And he doesn't appear to anyone else. So Jesus almost kind of looks like an insane person. He doesn't look like an insane person, but he's talking to somebody that isn't there. That is there, but no one can see. And sometimes he would appear to him when he's around this family, and he has to, like, answer him in a strange way. Like, I don't know how it works exactly. The movie doesn't do anything to explain anything about what's going on like that. It's just very face value stuff.
So are we seeing two Ewan McGregors on the screen?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not like a Smeagol Gollum kind of effect thing?
No. Yeah, that would be weirder. No, it's good this way. Well, like he's wearing like whatever garbs they were wearing. Whatever desert garb they wear.
Sure, yeah.
He was just wearing like a darker version of that, and that's really it.
Okay.
That's the only difference. And Ewan McGregor as a devil, he looks like he's having fun with the role. Like he is... The way he's mocking him, they have this wager going on about this family that he meets in the desert who's building a house. And he's like, if you can make this family, like, because the son wants to leave, for example, the son that's in the family, he wants to leave and go to the nearest city to make a living there. And his father wants him to stay in the desert because he hates the city and stuff like that. So, like, he tells him, like, I will leave you alone if you can help this family where all of them are happy by the end of your travels with them. He doesn't give a shit about it, if not, but that's the bet, right? And it has a wonderful ending about, it doesn't come with the wager exactly, but it comes with the idea of what the devil means to Jesus Christ in this pretend movie, of course, because no one can say. And I think it has some fun with it and very interesting things to say. The way the devil talks about the world and how it's working and time and generations, it almost seems like a sci-fi concept. I kind of feel like you should actually watch it and let me know what you. I mean, I know you won't watch it.
Where'd you see it on?
I rented it. Oh, it's okay. It's not available to rent anywhere.
Are you going to spend my hard-earned money?
Okay. So yeah, it's. I think it's really good. Really interesting stuff. I really, really, really liked it. That's. I don't know. I think it's fascinating. It shows. Is this most subtle use of Jesus Christ's power too?
How long is it? You mean water wine thing?
Yeah, like that kind of stuff. It's okay. Just very subtle.
It sounds blasphemous. I love it.
Yeah, it is kind of. It's like 90 minutes.
Not even cool. Yeah, I just fear like this is like a long journey.
No,
thing.
Thank God it's not actually. It's really easy to watch.
Thank Jesus Christ.
Yes, thank Jesus. The merciness. All right, let's get into our first review, which is Arrival.
Everything you're doing here, I have to explain to a room full of men whose first and last question is how can this be used against us?
Kangaroo.
What is that?
In 1770, Captain James Cook's ship ran aground off the coast of Australia, and he led a party into the country, and they met the Aboriginal people. One of the sailors pointed at the animals that hop around and put their babies in their pouch, and he asked what they were, and the Aborigines said, kangaroo. It wasn't until later that they learned that kangaroo means, I don't understand.
I can sell that for now.
Yeah.
And remember what happened to the Aborigines? A more advanced race nearly wiped them out.
It's a good story.
Thanks. It's not true. But it proves my point.
Oh, that's a long ass fucking... Okay, here it is. I saw a paragraph of, like, synopsis. Like, nope, I want the shorter one. A linguist is recruited by the military to assist in translating alien communications. You're right. That's exactly the small title. This is the latest by director Denis Villeneuve. Villeneuve, I don't know how to pronounce his last name. He's French-Canadian, so I don't know how they do this stuff. Also written by Eric Heisserer, sorry, and based on a short story by Ted Chiang. And it stars Amy Adams, Jeremy Renner, Forest Whitaker, we'll say those are the top, and then Michael Stuhlbarg. He's pretty good. I like him, even though he's a kind of a small part in the movie. All right, so Arrival, this is a pure... I would say science fiction mystery movie for
with
me.
Drama.
Well, everything has drama.
I know. I just love saying it.
Stupid.
I know. But, like, the joke will get old eventually. You know?
I mean, you still haven't. You're pretty damn old.
That makes no sense. I am or I am not. Dying Three Fires. So, Arrival, before, obviously, we're going to start with our first impressions of the film first, and I think I'm going to start with Ralph today, because why not? Ralph, how did you feel about the movie?
Speaking on you today.
Yes. How did I feel about Arrival? I knew not much about this movie walking in, besides the fact that something arrives and people have to learn things. I saw a trailer. So... I think first impressions is I overall liked the movie. There's a lot of really interesting things going on in this movie. And I quite enjoyed it. I do have some issues, which I will bring up later, and I actually want to mention some stuff that just kind of an end of thing with you specifically, Oscar, because me and Luke have already spoken about some of this.
Okay. As I imagine, you guys saw it together.
We did. But overall, I did really enjoy it. I enjoyed a lot of the stuff. And I like that they did not shy away from any of the alien things.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Luke, your turn.
Yeah, I also really much enjoyed it. Yeah.
I'm just going to sit here in silence until you keep talking.
Okay. Does that look again?
No, it's a really fun movie. I like the world and the language that it kind of showed us in her mind. I like the trick it played on us.
Are you talking about for the ending?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I'm not going to spoil that.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's really good. Then after the fact, it kind of...
The first minute anyway.
Yeah. It was like the first 5 minutes of the movie, bam.
Yeah, they spoil the ending in the first 5 minutes.
Right. Shut up. Really good movie, but it feels like it's one of those movies you can probably just watch like once every 2 years. There's not much you can get every single...
We'll talk about that later.
We're going to talk about that.
Oh, okay. That's the... Got it.
Amy Adams. Oof, she hot.
Well, it's funny because this is one of the movies that doesn't show her physique either which way.
Doesn't matter.
Which is fine with me either way. But I liked her too.
Hawkeye was good too.
I liked her. No, I actually have a problem with him, but I liked
it's
Amy
Hawkeye.
Adams. It's not Hawkeye. Shut up. So, Arrival, I really, it's funny because I came out of the movie theater. I saw this separately from you guys. I saw it opening weekend, I think the Friday night on midnight or something. I saw it, and I remember really liking it. I was confused until I thought back on the movie. One of my biggest regrets for this review is that I didn't get to rewatch the film, because I think a second watch will reward some Shutter Island-esque levels of, like...
You think so?
Yes, and I'm going to talk about it why. Because as soon as I started remembering and like, oh, yeah, how did it get to this point? I looked it up. I looked some of the stuff up because I wanted to make sure, because I also, you know, for the review. So Arrival, over the past, it's been a week now since I saw it. Over the past week, I've grown to love it more by the thought. So I kind of really love it now.
Well, we know science fiction is hard for you to understand, so.
Yeah. Yes. That's my anti-forte.
Yeah.
That's my,
Really?
What's that thing that, No, he's kidding. We're kidding. I love science fiction.
He's like, really?
I mean,
he starts thinking of all the
science. I think of all the times we talk about science fiction movies.
I mean,
and like, I clearly don't understand.
I know you don't celebrate May the 4th like I do.
No, that's adventure. This is science fiction we're talking about. Quite a difference. That
still
is not
sci-fi.
The same. Nope, not at all.
Still sci-fi.
Not at all. Lord of the Rings is
okay.
Sci-fi.
Okay, regardless.
Lord of the Rings is high fantasy.
They're all the same. There's high fantasy too. Oh, and I do have... Okay, so I have a lot of things about this movie. But, okay. So I really loved it. And it seems like you guys were... I'm not saying you have to love it. But I'm saying you guys liked it. So that's good. Positive review. Let's talk about its positivities first. What was the aspect that kind of drew you the most? Not before watching the movie, but while watching it. Was it just the sci-fi, the aliens, the concept of the language? Was it the day-to-day stuff of that? Was it more of the personal stuff, the relationships? What did you guys fell for more?
Yes.
I would agree
to
with you.
Which
all
one?
Points.
Yes.
All points. Okay.
So I love teaching aspect. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, so I have to agree with Luke here, but there's not one thing you can't love without the other almost. The relationship
aspect. I'm so glad you said that because you're right.
The relationship aspect is probably the least thing, which is between the humans.
I don't think it's the most thing.
No, between the humans?
Well, no, I guess not.
Yeah, so
yeah.
That's,
I mean, yes, no.
Between Hawkeye and the Doctor?
It's not even
Hawkeye.
There. It's not even there. Like,
I know.
That's fine. Whatever.
And she's not even a doctor. She's a linguist.
Yeah.
No, she's a doctor.
Is she a doctor?
I think she's got a master linguist, so she's...
And is that doctored?
She's Dr. Louise Banks.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that. Yep. Okay. Well, you could be a doctor in language. Sorry, continue.
You could be a doctor in history.
Yeah, you can. Whatever.
That's a professor.
Yeah, but you could still get a PhD in it.
Yeah.
And
a pretty huge dick.
Wow.
So stupid.
This just came out.
Yeah, I
think I think a gun to your head at that moment, you still would have said it and got shot.
No, they might have laughed. Yeah,
so.
Yeah, you can still get a PhD in. This is still considered a doctorate. You're
I clearly don't know how the educational system works.
You don't.
So.
You're not a medical doctor, but
you're not a medical doctor.
You're still at the top of your profession in like this.
Doctor
field.
Is the highest you can achieve.
Okay.
Well, you can reach a lot of things if you got a PhD.
Yeah, but you can't.
All up in their guts.
Anyways.
Dude, you're tearing down the walls on there.
I just think, yeah, like I said, you can't, like, the whole learning of the language, communicating or connecting with the aliens, the whole world thing, everything that's going on, the pressure. The whole thing about how she starts learning the language through her memories, right?
Right.
Through her
That's
dreams.
Awesome.
I mean, all of that intertwines so well together. And one of the things I love so much about this movie is that it's her narrative. It's her story. And it's not like...
It is such a, like, 99 to 100% her story.
And I love it because it stays true. I was so afraid that we were going to see, especially like... Because there's a big falling out, obviously, in their history, where they're not married anymore, right? Or she doesn't have a husband anymore, And they never show any of it. They never go into any of the drama. None of that shit. And I just loved it so much because she didn't care about that. She just cared all about, you know, like, it mattered about her and her daughter.
Right.
And her and her the good times with everything.
So I feel like we should maybe explain, even if you've seen the movie, I feel like maybe we should explain some of the plot points, because what we're going to talk about is going to be just like...
We haven't even touched on what the movie is.
Yeah, it's just kind of hard. It's also kind of hard to describe. It's not that easy. So I'm going to try my best here, and you guys can maybe help out.
Okay.
So the movie...
In a world. That is Earth.
12 alien spaceships of some sort, crafts, land on different parts of the planet. And as you can imagine, it creates like a worldwide crisis.
Yeah.
Any excuse to riot, basically, is this thing right here.
Ferguson.
Wow. Why am I laughing? Because it's funny.
It's the way he did it.
Yeah, I know. He just like raised his hands like... anyway... So this happens, and obviously all the governments of their respective countries that the aliens land on, I think one of them is China, one of them is Russia, one of them is Australia, and some of the other smaller ones. I think one of the South American one that got landed on, was it Chile?
No, I think it was Salvador or Ecuador.
One of them.
Oh, wow, one of those little ones, huh? they landed. Anyway, so all this happens, and obviously this all takes place on the American side, in Montana. Amy Adams plays the linguist.
Where the star gets, yeah.
The Star Prize linguist who gets hired, I guess, recruited by the government.
Because she has...
She works for that job, though.
She puts her foot on the door.
Oh, for sure. Because she didn't get hired.
No,
she was
she
like,
didn't.
No.
Not at first.
Yeah, not at first, though.
Yeah, they ask her a question based on nothing. And like, how do you expect me to answer this thing in a language I don't understand? But anyway, she gets eventually recruited to basically decipher and figure out this alien language from these aliens, and as you can imagine, very strange and different. And you meet them, and during this whole process, you get what seems to be like flashbacks, but you realize they're flash forwards of her time with her daughter.
Such a great
that
movie.
She'll eventually get,
yeah.
And not only growing up with her and enjoying all these great times like mother daughter do, but her eventual death too from some sort of virus or genetic
disease
or something,
yeah,
like that.
Rare genetic
something
disease.
Really horrible, yeah. And unstoppable.
Something incurable. Yeah.
Yeah, incurable. That's the whole point of it. So that happens, and while all that's going on, the world is going into worse turmoil about this alien stuff. So that's the big point, right?
Yeah, that's the big point. Yeah.
Okay. So, what do you guys want to talk about first? Or do you have any specific questions? You guys mentioned something about towards the ending that you guys have questions about.
What do you mean towards the ending?
I don't know, something about Jeremy Renner or something. Jeremy Renner, not Hawkeye.
No, I just mentioned that the fact that he's not the key thing in this thing. Like, what I said about the end is that their relationship, yeah, you can kind of tell that he's falling for her. But I don't see that she ever falls for him. Like, it doesn't feel that she ever falls
for
him.
So, yeah, the biggest problem, other than, like, one or two scenes of messed ups,
yeah.
hopefully I remember one, not the other. Anyway, I didn't buy the relationship. That's the one thing. Like, I know I don't have to see their first date.
Right.
Okay? Like, the movie's not interested in that, clearly. And that's fine. Overall, I bought that enough where it didn't bother me too much. But what I didn't buy more than the relationship, what I bought less than the relationship was him being a scientist or some sort of like physicist. I'm like, I don't.
Mathematician.
Yeah, mathematician. Yeah. Theoretical physicist, I think he said.
Yeah, that's what he is. But it's just math.
I know. Yeah, it's just like fancy, complicated math. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Jeremy Renner, but I just don't understand why him? He didn't seem like he did anything particular. He wasn't that charming for me. He wasn't that, he didn't look like he knew what he was talking. I mean, I don't know. Say it again.
Just because your panties didn't fall for him doesn't mean hers couldn't. And besides, it's not about, the relationship doesn't start at work. It starts when you're having sex in the closet. At work.
No, I just didn't.
They were too busy for that shit.
I didn't buy him as a scientist, is my point.
He's not a scientist. He's just a mathematician.
Whatever the fuck.
Right.
I just didn't buy it. I mean, like, obviously, it's like you're asking different questions when you're watching the movie anyway, but so it's not a big deal. But he is like the supporting role too,
yeah,
if not the second lead. So
for sure,
I do think it's important enough to say it. I think he's at most just there.
Yeah, I would agree. It does feel like he's just there.
Yeah,
but at the same time, I kind of forgive it for the fact that it's just like we don't need to see anything unless he comes with the breakthrough, because he does his own thing and we're just following her.
Right.
So that is the other thing. It's just that there's not enough there groundwork for his part, I guess. That's done.
Yeah, the movie's very laser focused on Amy Adams' character.
I did love Forest Whitaker's character, though. He was like asking all of the right questions.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. Yeah. And I actually liked what did you guys think? I guess now that we're in this, let's get through some of the more superficial aspects of the world building here. This is supposedly our world. Like this movie, on top of all the questions that I ask about time traveling, which I guess I didn't mention in the earlier recap of the movie, but that's what happens. Time traveling or aliens. What do you think about the realistic tendencies of this movie, that how we react if aliens were to come to Earth? Do you think it's realistic? Because the movie spends quite a bit of time talking about how the world leaders will work, what kind of system would be in place, what kind of fears would happen, what kind of global coverage would happen.
I like some of the things.
So what do you guys think about all that?
I actually think it was pretty proper. We got to see a very calm side. They were never in cities, so you never get to see anything like gigantic happen in cities except for like news building stuff.
Yeah, the most important thing that ever happened in Montana is this arrival, honestly.
Right, exactly. and then also you have this other thing where what I enjoyed was it shows how much stronger other nations are besides us also. We obviously know that Russia is a big strong. We also know China. But it just shows how influential they are as well, not just us, because, you know, we kind of feel that we're the cornerstone of everything, right? Or we're the main pillar. But,
yeah,
like, we followed suit to them. They didn't follow suit to us.
I do like how in the beginning, in the first half, before communications were lost due to people bickering, really. We all helped each other out. Like, we all shared information. Australia found a way to decipher one word, and they gave it to Amy Adams. Amy Adams will give it to the next, you know, Pakistan or wherever, whatever. And they would share information, and they would pool their resources. And it felt very, like, I'm not saying world PC exactly, but it felt very nice. It felt like the way Facebook should work and Skype should work, you know? It felt like the reason those tools exist are working for that way.
No, they just exist to collect data on you so they could sell it to ads. Companies,
okay,
and give you relevant ads.
Always the skeptic. Anyway, but did you guys feel that? Or no? You get what I'm saying with that? The world.
I agree with
you. Together.
Yeah, it did feel that way, but it also felt like.
Although I do feel somebody was starting nuking the shit out of that thing the second it showed up in the atmosphere.
Right. Are you surprised they hold off this long?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, if months went by.
Yeah, months, because they had all this time deciphering the language.
I'm really surprised. It was just they were talking about like riots still happen every day or something, but like especially like some of those really shittier countries. But I mean, it just no way some random guy did not manage to like, you know, do something to it, anything, what explosion wise or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just felt there's no way.
Oh, you mean a government entity?
Yeah, any government entity or even randos, like. Months. You had months to prepare to attack.
Dude, I think the Impossible Mission Force during that time must have been really, really working hard, like putting a lot of overtime to quell all those terrorists. You know, they must have.
Well, they didn't have Hawkeye with them this time, so.
Oh, that's right. Jeremy Renner was in the last two movies. He's still. Yeah, he's in the. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, okay, cool. I just wanted to ask that question. What about the aliens itself? What do you think about their design, the concept of it all? I really like the language. Yeah, they're huge.
I like the language as well. They are huge.
The language is pretty awesome. I love the on both their technology and how to show us their language and then our way of translating their language back with our technology. Those were very cool scenes that I liked. What did you mention?
Right.
You said something about that.
There was that scene where they're showing like this program, like do like the algorithms to find out what word is in each sentence or structure.
Mm-hmm.
That's not CGI. That was actually an actual program they developed to decipher it.
Huh, that's awesome.
So that was a real-time program working.
Yeah, cool.
And they used, like, the supercomputer, I think, Wolfram or whatever that is thing.
Yeah.
That AI.
Wait, Wolfram and Hart?
No. IBM?
Something. Yeah, one of those.
Okay.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, Wolfram Alpha.
Anyway, I thought that was really cool. Like, the movie's attention to detail to the sci-fi aspect, the actual, like, sci-fi languaging, the fact that it had to create all this stuff and make it somehow make sense for the movie. It's almost like the philosophy of time travel, which is the fake book in Donnie Darko. Like, you think that book really exists by the end of the movie, and you feel like this language really existed before the movie started. the way they make it work. And I think that's very, very good detailing in right. this movie. I wonder, I'm really curious to see, I want to be on those meetings figuring this language out. Can you imagine trying to figure it out, like this fake language for this movie? I think it'll be, those are, might be the fun meetings. Maybe not. Maybe it's like really frustrating. I have no idea. Like circles, guys. Circles. So I really like that stuff. What do we think of the time travel aspect? It's probably the biggest aspect of the film because, and this isn't, and I'm curious what you guys think. I know a lot of people are calling it a twist. What happens at the end when you realize that we're seeing the future and not the past, among other little twists. I don't really call them twists. I just call them slow reveals because on top of one thing about this movie is that it is pure sci-fi. And since it's pure sci-fi about a linguist figuring out a language, as you may imagine, it is a very deliberate movie. I'm glad that no one's mentioned or said or has complained that the movie is slow yet, and I hope you guys don't think that still. But a lot of people's main complaint about the movie.
I don't see it being slow at all.
I don't think so either, but I'm glad you guys haven't.
No.
A lot of people.
Those trucks could have gone a little faster, but that's about a.
Wait, what?
The trucks that took them from the camp to the.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Yeah, those
trucks were
really pressed on the. Yeah,
there's no road here.
They fucked that up. You're right, that part was slow as shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and the movie is, like I said, very deliberate. Slow, but not like slow meaning a bad thing to, about the movie, is what I'm trying to say. And I'm glad that that the movie earns it all with this twist. That isn't a twist because, like I said, the movie's slow, so it kind of looks, it's more like a slow reveal. Like eventually it reveals itself to be that way. And the information was there before you, which is why I think a second rewatch will help you. But what did you guys feel about the whole thing, about the pacing of the film? Which goes very, very importantly with the time travel aspect.
I thought it was pitched.
Which isn't traveling, right. I guess, but anyway.
I mean, it's not like time travel. It's more like...
Time gleaming? Time watching?
It's weird because it's like... So, when we had that one part where she's talking to the China commander, right?
Yeah. General Zhang.
It felt like Zhang. She did, in her spot where she was like mentally teleported to that... Spit.
Oh, it's funny, yeah, how she was giving herself the answer while, right. like, being there.
Because when she was there in that moment, she was dumbfounded by what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
She had no clue. And then she got the answer that she went back.
What did you think of that scene?
That was pretty crazy.
Did I did?
That's a...
I mean, that seems like a paradox of time travel, but everything is.
For last dying words, that's a speech she gave.
Yeah, yeah, that was... She took her speech. I wonder what it means. I meant to look it up. Like, I'm sure somebody translated it. I just didn't, wasn't right. able to. What do you think of that scene and that whole aspect of it?
Well, yeah, this is where the movie, I think, kind of like, it does introduce this whole time problem. You know, like, mm-hmm. you have it in every movie, Back to the Future. Anything that has to do with time travel or time stuff going on.
Yeah, Primer.
Primer, yeah. So in this one, I think where I think the cop-out is, or not the cop-out, but where I think that you can kind of get away from it, being like, well, she's told herself from the future and this, but how did it happen? Because that was her life, regardless. Like, she's just looking at her life, right?
Mm.
And the whole thing is, like, they can travel within... They can technically travel within their time, right?
Right.
But only within your own life. And even though you know the outcome of something, you can change it. It looks like you can obviously change something because you...
Right, this movie also kind of mentions about predestination.
Right.
Like,
but
fate.
I think it's, like, where she chooses to live her life as it's going to be. So she just lets it happen,
mm-hmm.
right? So she's just like, it's like almost a third person viewing her life
yeah.
and not can't do anything else, which is really interesting, right?
Yeah.
But that specific scene, I mean, it's what she's talking about. That was a truly really crazy scene because it's like she basically, she saves the world, right, for that reason.
Yeah, she does. Oh, she basically stops the world from killing itself, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, it is a super powerful scene. And you could obviously tell that she just like, what are you talking about? Like we never spoke because it hasn't happened in her present because mm-hmm. she doesn't know how it happened yet.
Yeah, and so she's figuring out, like, so I called you, and she's figuring it out in that moment while she's exactly. meeting General Zhang. I think that this time travel aspect, which again, very sci-fi, is the emotional core that this movie, I didn't know this movie was going to be as emotionally, not only emotionally driven, but emotion for me too, emotional for me watching it. As much as it was, because I think that that's the heart of the movie. Obviously, emotion is heart of the movie, obviously. But, like, it's more important to me, the Amy Adams, her going forward in the movie, her emotional whatever, than it is almost the sci-fi stuff in it. I know that they marry each other without one there that doesn't exist, but, I think it's just so important the way, because you were mentioning about she had a choice. She knew that her daughter would have died of this horrible, incurable thing, and she still chose to do it. And every time we get a memory of their time travel, or not her, or her gleaming, her watching the future with her daughter, it's always like the most positive memories. It almost feels like she's either remembering remembering on purpose, or she's actually seeing that stuff, not for the first time, but like just like peering in.
Yeah.
And
also, I mean, she chooses to, a lot of things, she chooses to tell her husband the truth or what she thinks, right?
And which I think causes him to leave, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Does cause, exactly. And it's a bunch of other things. You know, she chooses to write this book. She chooses to, like, everything that she chose, she becomes a person who gleams now. We don't know, because she even gets asked, you can change it, but maybe we're just in a fixed timeline, right? And she can only see it.
Right.
They don't really bring it up. It's fine. That's not the point of the movie.
Right.
It's just this big emotional thing. And that is actually very true.
It's the first movie that where time travel is introduced that isn't shown to be like only its negative aspects. Like, be careful what you wish for. Don't time travel. It'll fuck you up.
Right. The only problem I have is, like, do you think by her seeing the future and deciding to go through with it, it's just like self-fulfilling prophecy?
Well, I don't think it's like something that she can't.
What if she chooses not to tell him? Would then the future change?
See, I think the answer is more in the answer of I think the answer for her is, would she live in a world where her daughter never existed, or still existed for a while and died? I think that's what I think the question is more that way than it is
I agree completely. Yeah,
That's what it feels like to me anyway.
But not only that, what if she's like, should I have this for lunch? And
that's possible too. I don't think the movie gives you enough to answer that either which way. But I might be wrong.
Yeah,
if you guys have any evidence.
But I really like how they got to that point. And that's a really cool part.
I really love how the movie is filmed.
They explained a really good line where it's just like,
with the camera?
How does one learn
a language?
A language, right?
Yeah.
Both of you don't know the language.
Right. Well, how do you know you've learned a language until you start dreaming that language? Like, you start dreaming in that language, you know that you're doing something right, right?
Yeah, and this girl's obviously working on it day and night. So, of course, she's
obviously learning it. And then you could see. And, like, we're talking about, I thought she was just like, oh, because, you know, they even said it, like, every circle or whatever, it's like all of these feelings, all these emotions. It doesn't mean one thing. It means, like, 10 different things, right?
Yeah.
Or that's the language that they were, the written version.
When she discovered that, I'm like, so the Chinese got this, right?
Right. Chinese, Japanese, any of those.
One symbol means, like, 50 things.
Right. So when she says that, and I'm like, oh, so it's her emotions of her child, because we still didn't know anything about this time thing.
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, oh, no, this is even crazier. Another tier that we're going into.
It's like every word she deciphers, like, God with the wind for her.
I really did enjoy that movie for those reasons.
Yeah, I agree. It's very powerful, I think. And I felt that was very powerful. And more emotional than I thought I was going to get from this sci-fi movie. And a lot of people kind of felt like a little raw by some of the parts of the ending. I'm not 100% which parts. I think they were confused about the whole reveal of the past and present. And about the daughter. Like, I remember coming out of the movie theater, some people looked disappointed, and some people were talking bad about it, like, coming out, and then others were, like, pretty much okay about it. It wasn't, like, a full theater or anything. But it's, but I saw it so late, and it was, like, enough people were on the way out that, during the movie, though, I'm glad that everyone shut up, though. No one bothered, no one, like, was asking questions, no one was oohing or aahing either, but they were just, like, everyone was, like, dead quiet in some of those scenes where it required it to be. So, well.
Yeah, I think this movie is really more of an experience. And this is what we were talking about, me and Luke. This movie is more of an experience than it is almost just like a... I can't put it in words, really. It's not just a movie I
would... Blah, blah, blah.
Right, there you go. It's not a movie that I would just watch. It's not a movie like Hot Fuzz that I can watch over and over again or whatever, right? Or for me, it was like Pulp Fiction. I can watch Pulp Fiction every other week and I'll be fine.
Right, yeah.
Right? This movie, I don't feel like I can watch it again. Like, you say you want to rewatch it. I'd maybe rewatch it again just to kind of, like, get some of those things out of the way. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I can watch this movie even once a year. It just feels like it's such an emotional, such a driven experience thing. And I'm not saying I already got the experience and I'm done with it. I just feel like it wouldn't... I don't know how... I think it would take away from that.
It's like, fuck, marry, kill. Marry this movie. Right, you weren't just fucking...
Right, exactly. It would take away from it if I just kept watching it over and over again. Because I think it would take away from the experience, even from my first experience. It's like, I don't know, it's like taking heroin, you know, or whatever. Like, you loved it that first time, or ecstasy. Great that first time, and after that, it's just not the same, right?
Well, it depends on your first time.
Sure, exactly. But, like, that's what I'm trying to get to. I
think what we're getting at is that we're terrible at analogies.
Yeah, we
but
are.
But it's okay.
Yeah.
You get our point, guys. Right on. I that's a good... No, I understand what you're saying. And I would rewatch it soon for my curiosity about some of these things we've been laying out about how the movie...
What
and I'm curious if the movie will deepen in appreciation for my second rewatch, or will it look even more elementary, where... Because, like, these aliens arrive, and their time travel... ness of and it's in their nature, it's in their language, they see it all the time. They come to the humans for help because in 3,000 years, for some reason that we don't know,
they need our
that's
help.
The question coming up. They need their help for something, and so they perceive time really fast and far and vast, I mean vastly, and so they're parked there, like, you know that they know what the outcome will be, they just have to do it.
Right.
It seems like, so, like, I'm curious if a second rewatch will make a lot of that, like, the power will be driven away from it, because, like, I don't feel like there's any stakes, even though there is plenty, even then, I don't know. Right. Anyway, but...
Well, better stakes than salads. What did you guys not like about this movie? Because we never got into that.
Oh, yeah. Well, Renner, we talked about.
Renner, you talked about.
I didn't like the C4 thing.
Oh,
that was stupid.
Thank God.
Yeah.
I thought that was the weakest part of the movie.
I was like, I felt like they needed an action scene in there because the movie was so slow.
We need to blow something up to make it.
I swear, yeah. That,
that's exactly, I mean, it looked cool.
We need funding, so we need to blow
cool.
something up.
Right. Yeah, it looked cool, but like this rogue.
And I just didn't
military.
I did not agree that I listened to this radio station. It's like all libertarian or Republican, whatever radio that's talking about like our country's doing everything wrong. And like. You know, if you can change it, you should.
And his wife was also talking to the guy, too.
Right, and he's just like, you should change it, right? The worries, right? He's like, oh, I'm going to change things, all right. You know, like, come on, dude. Like, it's just...
Yeah, I don't think that part was necessary at all.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Any other parts? Wait, why do we think it's stupid? I guess we just said what it was. We should explain.
Well, all it does is that it pushes them back to not have to research as much. Like, it just... Or it makes it seem like, oh hey, we attacked them.
I mean, could it be a plot red herring? Could it be a red herring in the plot? I mean, I'm not agreeing with it. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate. So like, could it be a red herring, like to make us believe that this is very much like a day to day thing and things could go wrong at any point? This is very Contact-y. Also, the movie Contact.
Yeah.
With the religious group, you know, blows up the first prototype. Spoilers for Contact.
Sure.
I
don't think I've seen that movie.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not bad. As long as fuck, though. So it'll be
long as
it's like 2.5 hours.
Like, you feel the length.
Yeah, you feel that. But it's, I think it's a worthy ending. Okay, overall. Jodie Foster is good. Anyway.
A PhD, you feel the length.
This guy. What does that mean again?
It's also a pretty girthy movie.
Right.
Oh, there you go. We just feel like the girth was more substantial or the length?
It's a combination of the two.
I think the length is pretty standard. 1 hour, hour 30. Anyway, anything else besides that scene? Did we explain the scene?
Yeah, where they
hijack some C4.
Right. No. Like, why it's bad.
Did we?
I was saying that it could be a red herring to make us believe like it's very day to day, and it kind of makes the splash of the of the reveal of the time travel stuff more better. You know, more intense. Like, they're trying to inject some intensity because we fear, like, you know, something.
That intensity factor.
I don't know. I'm
sure
trying to explain it.
There.
I can't really explain it because I don't agree with this.
I get where you're getting at. So.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, I'm just trying to help it out. But
I just feel like the movie could have done without it.
True.
You could have done something else.
Anything else in relation to that? Like, how do we feel about the... Here's one thing that I read a review. I skipped on this one. I read a review where one of them complained about the film's need to explain why she needs to take her time explaining the language and helping the aliens explain the language. And
yeah, that was good how she wrote that question. What is your purpose on Earth?
That was phenomenal.
Right. And then there's other two times, like the kangaroo scene. There's another,
I like that scene.
I like that scene too. And there's another one too. Also with, all with Forrest Whitaker, who plays the military liaison or something. So what do we think? Do we think it was too much over explaining about how, like, she just needs time, dude, and language is a tricky fucking thing?
Well, no, at first you feel that way, but I think the way they explain it and the way she explains it specifically is done so well. Her reasons behind
even
it.
Even a child wouldn't understand.
Right. Even the reasons behind it are done well because, like, hey, you don't want to fuck this up. Like, and that's her big thing. It's like, you can't let me fuck this up. Like, I'm not going to fuck it up for you guys.
Right.
Because, like, if you want to do that, like, that's what's happening in China. That's what's happening over here. That's what's happening over there. Because they do the whole thing with the Mahjong tiles in China, right? They're like, oh, they taught them a game in Mahjong. They're like, well, a game has a win, you know, a winner and a loser,
yeah.
right? So you're teaching them different connotations. That's completely different, right? So that's why get into it. I actually like all the things.
I don't, no, I'm glad because some people were like after the third time, they're like, oh, we get it already. But I'm like, no, I think it's fine. It's perfect for...
I just think, like, I think it shows that there's pressure coming in from all sides. Hey, you need to figure this out already. And she's like, I can't rush this. Like, you can't let me rush it.
Yeah, I know.
So...
Yeah. It's a good reinforcement. Anyway, any last thoughts on Arrival?
Yeah. For me, it's a huge watch.
Also very beautiful, too.
Yeah.
That's a really nice shot.
You should really go watch this movie. Regardless of anything, it's an experience that you should definitely have.
Most stuff. All right. So that's it for Arrival. We're going to take a quick thing break, a clip break, whatever we're calling it now. When we come back, we'll start reviewing Moonlight. So stay with us.
All right. Water for me and a little gin for you. Boy, please. I know wine used to give you that gin, but we ain't doing that up in here, shout it. You don't think my joke was funny? What's wrong?
Nothing. You good?
No. I didn't seem good. And you ain't it. And stop putting your head down in my house. You know my rule. It's all love and all pride in this house. You feel me? I can't hear you. Do you feel me?
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel you.
Moonlight chronicles the life of a young black man from childhood to adulthood as he struggles to find his place in the world while growing up in a rough neighborhood of Miami. This is an indie film. Indie film. Written and directed by Barry Jenkins, based on the, I think, a play.
The real story of Leroy Jenkins.
Sorry. Yeah. Based on a play written by or story by Terrell McCraney? Something like that. Sorry, I'm butchering names. And it stars... Oh, fuck, I'm going to fuck up these names, too. I just know it, man.
He sees the names.
I'll fuck this up. Oh, man, it stars people. I know Naomi Harris, of course.
Damn, why you only know that one?
Anyway, Mahershala Ali, Sharif Earp, Duane Sanderson, Alex R. Hibbert. Oh, that's a little. Okay. Janelle Monáe. Naomi Harris, I said. Jaden Piner, or Piner. Anyway. Herman Kahi McClune. And that's it for now, I guess. I don't see any other names I remember. Anyway. Cool. So, Moonlight, it's and not in every theater, but I think it's in the widest release it'll be, honestly, which is like major cities and maybe your local indie theater, right? Like, we have our Music Box and Century Cinemas.
Right, exactly.
But you'd be surprised. Small towns have those too. It's not like only in big
wherever
cities.
Wherever they support A24 productions or whatever.
That's true. It is an A24, and they seem to be home running it a lot.
Yeah, A24 is
I'm really
But
jealous.
For example, Century Cinemas or those cinemas type of movies, type of theaters, do support A24 films, so I know they have like a contract with them or something.
Yeah, they must because they always have their billboards and all their stuff.
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, you're right. So, Moonlight, it's definitely pure drama going on here. And I guess maybe drama, romance, and if you want to go even, you know, like more specific, it's an LGBT movie, I guess people are calling it, but I really don't see it that way. It's kind of just a movie about this man. It's very simple for me. It's not like about that, you know, it just happens to be that he's also homosexual. So, this time we'll start with Luke, though. What did you think of the movie?
I thought it was a really good movie.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. It pretty much showed me a whole life that I've never really seen before.
That is true.
And I mean,
I guess every movie does that. Well,
you get these movies like, fuck, I'm blanking on the name. Boys in the Hood and stuff like that. That's just like the really urban stuff. And so it was like gangster oriented, and you know, whereas this is not. This is just more of a.
It's literally the shoes of this man.
Right, the shoes of one man, and in a community that probably will not accept him for who he is, and you know, and all throughout his life.
Nice. I'm glad you liked it. Ralph, how did you feel about the movie?
I hated this damn movie. No, I actually really enjoyed this movie as well. I completely agree with Luke about the whole. You see this life, especially in a city like Miami, right? And Miami's such a huge city, and it just shows you a slice of Miami that no one would dare show you, right? And specifically, this person's life, who, yeah, will be shunned by everybody, right? But especially in his community, and is shunned by almost just about everybody in his community.
True.
And how he has to grow up with, and who. What kind of identity he has to make for himself, and what kind of, like, what he has to do to become, you know, like, just to survive and to live through his struggles.
Yeah.
And it's a really, really interesting, from start to finish. It's a really interesting movie.
I forgot to mention that the movie, captures, what's his name? I can't find his name.
His name?
Yeah.
His name is Little.
No, that's not his name, though. His real name.
Chiron.
Yeah. Thank you. Chiron, he has like...
Oh, Chiron?
Yes. No, I think it's Chiron.
I think it's Chiron.
Yeah. Anyway, I want to mention Trevante Rhodes, who plays the adulthood actor. I didn't mention him because he's like way down in the cast, even though he's like the centerpiece in the third act. But he plays, obviously, Chiron, but he's called, or he's nicknamed Black. And that. There's like three nicknames that work with the film. The film is kind of like almost like a play in itself, almost like a chapter marks about the dude's life, right? First as a little boy named Little, and then as a teenage boy in high school named Chiron, and then Black when he gets much older, and it's not much older, I don't know how much older, but definitely like late 20s.
I give it a good 10 years.
I would say late 20s, maybe if not early 30s.
Maybe, but that's most.
That's at most, yeah.
Yeah. So I felt very similar to you guys about this film. Well, I think we're in lockstep about these movies so far. Moonlight is so emotional. And so it's very much like it does do a very well. It does a really good job to put its audience into the shoes of its protagonist. And the whole time, you are experiencing life not only through him, but like you are feeling you're almost feeling his emotions, the emotions he's going through, in the very moment he's having them, which is very weird to see, or rare. I mean, not weird. When he has certain discussions with his mother, when he has certain discussions with Teresa, or when he is, just like some of these confrontations he's having, like some of the stuff is not as important. Some of the stuff he's a kid, he doesn't understand, but like, cause like, it seems like people in the neighborhood knew he was gay before he knew, kind of like thoughts like that. But obviously we know now, and the way it's portrayed is like we get dawned on that as he's getting dawned on that more. If he's really gay, or is it going to be his identity? How is he going to treat it? In the second act, I think is obviously the key point is his breakdown. I don't want to say it's a breakdown or a meltdown necessarily. It's just like his tipping point, his boiling point was reached, right? By the constant, I guess
bullying.
I guess, yeah, bullying.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out the word. The constant bullying that leads him to get arrested by the end of that.
I mean,
segment.
Not even arrest. I mean, he goes to jail for that. He goes to prison.
He fucked him up.
Yeah,
he knocked him the fuck out. That's for sure.
Yeah,
yeah.
He did a second blow too. I wonder how I wonder how mortal, how wounded he gave him. What kind of wound he gave him? Because he took the chair leg out, right? And yeah. He did some. He hit him again.
Oh, hey, when in Rome.
Leave?
No.
Oh, okay. Got that.
If it's burning, yes.
If it's burning, yeah. So yeah, this movie is like I said, so we're experiencing the emotions of his thoughts in the moment he's experiencing them. We are too, like when he decides to, like attack with the chair, when he's like so focused about just doing that, going to the classroom and hitting him, and other scenes when he's talking to what's his friend's name? The cook,
Kevin.
When he talks to Kevin, and like, and they have that scene at the beach, which is very, very strange because you don't know Kevin's life at all. And I think it adds this curveball where he, where Little or Chiron, sorry, is both surprised, but even though reserved, but he's delighted about the outcome, and he doesn't know how to express it. And I love how these two boys in that scene and afterwards, they can't.
Oh, I think he knows how to express it.
You know, but you know what I mean. They can't express what they're going through, what they're feeling, even not even for each other, but like in general. And it needs to have the third chapter for them to actually understand the maturity of their past encounters. I think it's very good. It's a very good movie. It's kind of hard to talk about because it's like I feel like I'm not worthy to talk about whatever's going on in this movie. I also don't even know if I have the words to explain a lot of it.
Right, we're not worthy, but we recommend it. See you next week.
I feel that the movie does really well through the ages, so through Little, through Chiron, and then through Black, is that you do feel what that character is feeling, and those feelings change in each of his ages. As a kid, he's just scared and confused, and we get that a lot because I'm confused most of that damn beginning, right? And I'm scared for the kid as well. You know, his mom's a fucking drug addict, and you know he's being taken care of by a drug dealer. Like,
yeah,
it's sure. really confusing. It's really weird. And then as a kid, you know, he's going through high school, almost coming of age-ish, if you want to look at it, right?
No, I mean, this movie is basically a coming of age movie.
Sure, exactly. And he goes through high school, and we all get picked on.
Coming out of
we
it.
All get picked
he is
on.
Coming.
He we all get picked on in high school, or specifically a type Kane. Of. He is like candidate number one to get picked on, specifically in that high school where he is. Like,
yeah,
he's just so skinny. It's just easy. Right, he's so skinny. Everything he wears is way different from everybody else wears. You know how everybody else acts. He just looks very scared in general, and that's how you feel with him, and you feel like fed up, especially when he breaks the chair over. That guy. And as Black is, you don't know what to feel anymore besides that he does it, because you don't know how he's going to react until the very end, right? Until he goes and sees the guy. But obviously we see this other side of him where he just looks like, maybe not dead inside, but just like...
Looks like he ate another version of himself. That got fucking
huge.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, ripped.
But it just looks like the guy just like never...
He could take it out of a car if he wants.
Right. He just looks like he's like, I don't have relations with people because it's just going to end bad. Like, and it looks like he just shunned himself from the world. Like, well, and like his closest friend are his drug dealers. Like,
right.
And it's, which is sad, right?
And it has that, almost like, it's not exactly, I'm glad it's not exactly, but it's almost like because the movie opens with, not his father, but the drug dealer that kind of takes care of him. And when he's little, like, you know, it opens with him seeing his drug dealers and their actions. And then when we proceed to the third one, when he's a drug dealer, we see him checking up with his sellers.
Right,
and
exactly.
Stuff. Very much like his protege, father, or whatever.
Sure, yeah. Yeah. Or role model.
Yeah. I guess. Which he wasn't bad. Like, he was, like, it's so strange. You can't pin anything on one person except for maybe the bully. In one direction. Everyone is very much their own person. No, but even she's her own person.
You're right.
Like, yeah, it's fucked up and it's terrible. And it's just like a spiral of fucking addiction that she needs help. It's not like she needs punishment. She needs help. And she ain't getting it and she ain't going to see it. And no one's going to let her even do it. And people are just going to keep giving her drugs or whatever.
Right,
Or giving her money or not giving her money. You know, so like for her, it's really easy to blame everything on that. And yes, it's her fault. But like it's very easy to blame everything on her. And I think that the way the drug dealer, he gets like three scenes only in the beginning, right? The guy.
Yeah, but they're so impactful.
They're so emotionally, like they're so good. Like, you could tell that he's influencing him in a positive way despite his career choice of drug dealing, you know? And that's clearly what probably killed him.
And despite the fact that he knows that that he's homosexual.
Yeah, that's true.
I
yeah,
mean, that's one of the biggest things out
and
there.
He's very surprisingly open-minded for the time.
For the person he is.
Yeah, because he feels... And also it's good that we see him falling... falling for the kid and feeling sorry for him at first before he realizes he's going to be gay. I don't know if that really matters, but it seems like that would be an emotional hook for him to stay caring about the boy. Luke, what do you think about that?
I've kind of felt weird with that whole interaction because it's like you got this grown man taking care of this little kid, doesn't know his name, but he still takes him out to eat, takes him to another house. I'm just like...
I mean, you feel the worst.
Yeah, you said,
yeah, I feel the worst.
Something's not right here.
I thought
I feel the worst. Yeah.
I mean, I was hoping, I didn't think it would happen, but you're right. I feared the same thing.
Right. It's like that other movie we watched with.
Earlier in the year. Oh my God, what was it called? Lamb.
Lamb. Yep.
Or you feel the worst the whole time.
Yeah, that whole movie is about that. Like, that movie's intentionally making you feel that way. I don't think this movie was trying to do that. Yeah. It's just our sensibilities, I guess. I think it's stupid to even ask, what's your favorite of the three things? Because they're just so connected to each other. They all need to be there for each other. And I will ask this though. There's three different actors obviously playing one role. So how do you guys feel they did in relation to each other? Did you believe that was the same person?
Yeah.
Yeah. I really did.
I really did too.
Minus when he was black, because he was like twice the size.
Right, minus when he looks black, when he's black at the end of the right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, also, Rob, you and I look a lot whiter when we were younger.
Yeah. Well, no. I meant like the character.
Oh, I thought you meant like...
His name at that time was black.
Oh, okay.
They split up the make.
I thought you were talking about like his actual color. I'm like, I guess he did go darker.
They split up the movie in three
but like that happens when you grow up.
The segments are Little, Chiron, and Black.
Yeah, right. Okay.
That's his name. And then the nickname is Black... comes from Kevin. He's like, I decided to call you Black.
That's perfect, yeah.
Yeah. And actually, his license plate says Black on it.
Oh, no, it's like the biggest... It's like it's the equivalent of like a rose or a romantic anything to take the nickname of your high school crush like that.
Yeah.
And you're probably your only crush, the way he talks about like where he's been, what he's been doing in Atlanta by himself, away from Miami, away from everyone he knows, and we know. We don't know anyone. It's just so lonely. It's so lonely. And it's like he won't even admit it until he and Kevin connect again.
He goes the next day.
Yeah, he goes the next day. That's how much he's lonely.
Yeah.
He, no matter what he's trying to say, or he can't admit it, but he is. And he hasn't had a single other experience since that time. And it's amazing. It's sad and amazing. And kind of powerful when they actually meet. What did you guys think of that? The reunion of Michael and Sharon?
I mean, I thought it was... I really enjoyed the reunion.
Michael. It takes its time.
Michael, Kevin.
Kevin. Fuck.
Oh, Kevin.
Sorry.
I enjoyed it, and I thought actually it was just going to go south, because...
Right, I didn't know.
Because, well, especially when he's like, dude, he's like, how do you deal? How are you that person? Your mom went through this. Like, how do you become a dealer yourself, you know? And it's like, everything you've gone through, there's no way you should be one. But he's like... He just looks past it right away. And, like, he gets over it. He goes to work, right? But he gets over it.
Yeah.
After a bit. And because, you know, because they're both in love with each other. Mm-hmm. Or seemingly.
Yeah.
I overall enjoyed it. So I was just, it was an interesting because you really don't know what's going to happen in this movie. Like.
Yeah, and it takes a sweet time. It breathes. The whole scene is just like, it's run
minute by
minute.
Well, it just feels like it's happening, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't feel like there's any cutting.
Right, exactly.
To skip time, except for when they go away from the restaurant.
Right.
Yeah, it's very good. I also agree. Did you feel the same way?
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say about the movie. I mean, it's
just some powerful
it's
acting.
It's so emotional. It's very. Whatever acting and nomination, give it to them, all three. I don't give a fuck.
I mean, that's good. It's a really good movie.
Especially Black plays him. I really liked him. Because I was thinking, look, you see that big guy with all the muscles. You see him working out. He's an intense fellow.
And I think I should get a little excited.
What you see more than anything, because we've seen the last two parts already, is his vulnerability. It's constantly there. The guy is, he looks scared. He can look scared. Like, I just never, like, you see that guy in the street, you don't fuck with that guy. But you know him, and you know not to be scared from him.
Right, you're walking both same side of the street in the middle of the night. You cross the street to walk away from that guy, like, because you just don't want to encounter, you don't want to give that guy a
No,
look.
You make sure you walk right up to him and look him in the eye when you walk across. That's why he won't mess with you.
You're just asking his ass.
Yeah.
He's walking away from me. Oh, okay. Easy victim.
Oh, my God.
Although that literally happened to me.
Assume that he's going to be... attacking you.
Why do you assume that he's going to attack you so you cross the street?
But why do you assume he's going to attack me if I cross the street?
Because you're a bitch.
Looks like we're all bitches. He would kill all three of us if he wants to.
Probably.
Barehanded. Anyway, I liked how, surprisingly, the actor, Trevante Rhodes, I think, I forgot the name. I lost it. He Yeah, I'm surprised how much of Chiron there was in there, in that actor, like, and that fucking muscles.
For sure.
You know? So, yeah, I was really surprised, in a good way. Anything else on the movie? On Moonlight.
I just don't know what else.
Oh, by the way, cinematography, real quick. No joke about that. They mentioned in the movie, too, like, how the moonlight makes the black color, skin color, look what?
Bluish?
Blue.
Yeah, because that was his nickname, was Blue. Cause he was
and there was that one shot where it kind of does that. And it's supposedly, from my understanding, and then 100%, very natural lighting going on in this movie, too. Well, more natural than you think, anyway. And cinematography was really good in this movie, by the way.
You mean they didn't go, all right, bring out the blue lights.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah.
I would just pick it blue in post in editing.
Fix it in post?
Yeah, we'll change the saturation and the hues and all that stuff. We're good.
Yeah, how do you guys feel about seeing Moneypenny being a drug addict? Bitch, essentially.
I hated her, just like...
Well, you hate her. Yeah, you're supposed to hate her, I think. Yeah. What do you think of her?
The first time you see her, she's like this nurse or something like that.
Yeah, she's a nurse.
And then
the
second time you see her, she's like all in drugs and shit.
Well, we're also going to meet addicts at hospital. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. I'm sure that's not how it works, but... Yeah. So, yeah, you can almost see her entire life story without the movie telling us anything, right?
Yeah.
You can see it all. A struggling mother, trying to make ends meet, you know, gets, you know, into the wrong thing, and it just expands. By the time you skip to the high school thing, she's all out. She's on her, she's hitting rock bottom, or heading there or something. And the third one, when we get to the third one, she's in a hospice or something?
It's a rehab.
A rehab.
Rehab, yeah.
And she looks like she's trying to get her life going. I'm not saying it's probably not the first time she's done it, maybe not the last either. Which would be more sad if that's the case. But, like, what did you guys feel about her scene? Because it's almost like this movie ties up three things, and that's his image, Chiron's image about himself, his time, his relationship with Kevin. Kevin. And then his relationship with his mother. What do you guys think of that mother scene?
I don't know. I think
you wouldn't
really
forgive her.
He does not like her at all.
No.
Like, he's... You're my mom. I'm gonna visit you, but like,
I really think the one line that the mom says during Little when she tells him that you're my blood, and you're like
Teresa and your blood,
right? Teresa and your blood, and like, I think that's something that he's always stuck with. He knows that. He knows that he's his blood. That's his birth mother. That's literally you are her, right? And stuff like that. He doesn't see her as that person, right? But he knows that, the only connection I have you have to me is this. And the only thing I'll ever owe you is because you are my mother, because you gave me birth. I'll keep you whatever, you know. Uh-huh. But as far as that whole, he does not like her. I mean, or at least he doesn't love her. That's for sure.
On the other hand, we all love Teresa.
That's for sure.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you're saying in more ways than one. Yeah, she's a very heartwarming person.
Oh, she can warm my heart anytime.
Yeah, but you don't have a heart. Mm-hmm. It's gone. Anyway, I think that's it for Moonlight. We're detracting here. Catch it if you can. It's, I guess, at select cities or indie cinemas. Check your indie theater local. It should hopefully be there. It's making a lot of headway with critics, and that's going to be probably some contenders for Oscar buzz, probably. It's right now, I think, 99% on Rotten Tomatoes. So that's good going forward. So I'm glad. I'm hoping this movie will be more of a success if it doesn't turn out to be much of a financial success, which movies of this type are never. That much, unfortunately. But that's Moonlight. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll review our last film of the evening, which is a documentary called Wiener. So, stay with us.
What do you think?
I don't know.
You regret it?
This is nasty, jackass.
Has anyone ever told you it's hard to get you to talk about your feelings?
Let me ask you something. Are there any... There must be some species of fly that stays on the wall and talks. But I've never heard of one. Usually, is the fly on the wall technique... Isn't that have to do a little bit with the notion of not being seen or heard? You just kind of pick up what goes on around you?
An examination of disgraced New York Congressman Anthony Weiner's mayoral campaign and today's political landscape. That is the main discussion of Weiner, the documentary that came out earlier in the year, I believe in early summer, I want to say. And it's out right now to rent or buy on, I think, Amazon. I'm pretty sure iTunes and VOD, anywhere like that. So if you were remotely interested in this interesting political, especially in this climate, documentary that's made some headway, some waves in the critics' circles and shit, watch it before continuing on to this, because we're going to spoil everything, obviously. So
yeah, it's on Showtime.
Oh, yeah, I should say, yeah, I didn't mention that. It's a Showtime documentary, one of their series documentaries. So they sponsored it, kind of like HBO have their own, Showtime as well.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a tough one, because I already know the layout and the energy of this room. We're going to start off with myself, I guess, because I'm the last one who didn't start off. Yeah. What I thought about Wiener, this documentary, it's a 90-minute documentary. It's very short, very nice and sweet, I think.
It's an hour and a half.
90 minutes. So, I thought that Wiener, I know, just get it out of the way now, is a fascinating documentary about very shitty things going on, about things that I already don't want to backtrack anything. I'm just going to say what I think. So I thought it was very fascinating watching this film, and I think that some of the stuff that goes on is both extremely predictable and kind of like, what's that? Like, kind of like a Kim Kardashian show or Jersey show. Like, you can't not watch it. You kind of almost have to hate watch it. And there's a sense of enjoyment that I got out of that somehow. It's kind of hard to explain, but somewhere in that combination of, like, reality TV and scandalous politics, like, I was able to find some entertainment in here. More than just watching this guy, because I knew nothing about Anthony Weiner. I should almost ask, anybody knew about him before?
Yep.
Yeah, Ruff? You heard of him?
Yeah.
No. Okay. I heard briefly, but that's it. Okay, now let's move on to Ruff. What did you think of the movie?
I mean, you kind of said it. It's a predictable thing that happens. It's a shitty story that, what's it called, where he just lies or decides to omit things to the public, and then it comes out in light. Basically, that's what happened, you know. Not that he necessarily lies about anything, right? He just decides to omit some things, right? That's what it ends up being. He maybe doesn't know all the details because he doesn't want to know the details anymore. And it's a lot of human errors on his part.
How do you feel like? You say you've seen this before.
What do you mean?
You right? That it feels very
well. It just feels like it's the story feels heard. You know,
okay.
I've heard this story before. I've heard that, or as in, like, someone has something that ruins them, right?
You mean, like, in real life and in movies?
Yeah, in real life and movies and stuff like that, yeah.
Have you seen a documentary that does this before? That's done this before? Covered a scandal like this?
Well, not necessarily, because they kind of just stumble into it.
I saw Notes on a Scandal.
Way different.
Okay.
That one has way more intense.
Actually, I never saw that one.
I know you haven't.
Obviously, or else you wouldn't have argued with him about it.
Yeah.
So I just think they're filming him at the right time and it all happens.
Yeah, I mean, most documentary are just there at the right time with the right camera. I mean, you know,
the beginning part of the documentary is explaining everything that happened to him,
right? And then him running for,
and then
running
very well done. And I love all the Wiener names.
Great. Yeah, that part was good.
Yeah,
right. That part was also, that part was interesting and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and like where they and their whole thing. And their whole message. I mean, the movie tries to do a good part where, like, there's good energy, good vibes coming from this political party for running for mayor, right?
Right.
And then, boom, crash, right? Because this happens. And then it just becomes about all of that and him trying to get out of that rut. And every time he tries to get out, he puts a hand out. He goes, they just kick his hand and put him right back in it.
Mm.
Like, and it just feel like, and I hate to say it, like, it is the whole thing, right? I'm not faulting the movie because it happened, because that's what it is. A documentary just happened.
Yeah.
Like, and they're just literally following all of that. I just feel like literally, like, he shoots himself in the foot all the time. And throughout the whole documentary, he's shooting himself in the foot. And maybe I didn't per se care about the subject.
So you guys didn't find anything tragic in the whole thing? Like, even if it's a foolish
what
man
did you find
being
tragic?
I found tragic for his wife.
No, I felt tragic for him. Like, when
I
he
found
asked
tragic
you,
for his like, wife, I found tragic.
Like,
for
example, like that scene, the most cringeworthiest scene for me, anyway,
the
in the movie. Yes, the bakery.
Oh.
When he just has to respond to that guy. Now, that guy did say something really bad.
Yeah.
And that is funny how they show that
everyone
clip.
Everyone omitted it.
Right. Everyone omitted it. And who was it? Was it
John Stewart?
John Stewart. We played that scene.
Yeah, John Stewart was like, oh, wait, he said something about his wife?
He's a dick.
Well, all
I think
loose.
He says, fuck that guy. Yeah, he says, fuck that guy.
Exactly, yeah. Go ahead. You can go ahead and say
because he said the most racist thing. He's like, oh, he's married to an Arab.
Right, right. That, but no one, I didn't catch that when I first saw it either.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I think that thing was very fascinating. I think that scene kind of encapsulates the whole movie for me. But that scene is the most cringeworthy scene because I think, like, when he goes back, and I don't know how you guys were, but, like, don't go back. Stop talking. Shut off. Go.
This is a man of ego. Obviously, he's not going to go.
I think every political leader of any sort has a tremendous ego. Like, because you have to do that to even get on the part.
Right. This one probably more than most.
I like the beginning. I like the first half of this movie.
Right. The first half was really good, and the second half was just like.
Well, here's the thing. I think the second half is harder for us to maybe see because we feel like we've seen this before, but we're actually watching a real version of it. Not based on a true story. This is the actual true story.
I knew the one was on the news still, so.
Well, I didn't know that. I knew is very little compared to what we probably knew. But it doesn't matter. The point is that.
I watch Fox News. They tell me everything.
Great.
They tell me who the president was going to be.
Yeah.
Is that right?
They tell you everything right, right?
Right. They tell me everything that's right.
Yeah.
Although Fox News in Chicago is still like,
oh no, my room is
Fox News
leftist.
My room is red. Anyway, welcome. I don't care. I'm not affiliated to either party. I don't give a fuck. They could both die in a fire. So that scene I think encapsulates. Like, okay, so I think the reason the first half is much more memorable, maybe, or enjoyable to watch, and whatever. And I really like the actual opening where we're showing Anthony Weiner at his height,
right.
Where he is like fighting, and he is the way he argues is so well put, and it's almost like it's somewhere between like one of those picket liners, you know, that protest, and like a really well thought out speech at the same time. Like he's both in those scenes, right? As a congressman, I mean, before he gets kicked out, and so we see all that happening, and. From that point on, the live version we're watching, because this is when the camera's actually rolling, not like footage only, it's definitely a lesser Weiner. I know. It's a lesser version of the man. And I think what we're watching is the slow and then the plummet.
A man defeated?
Of a man defeated. And I think that's the actual tragedy. And I think we can use him as an analogy for other people.
See, the thing is, I think I saw him defeated right away, so I knew he was going to lose regardless.
Well, I knew he was going to lose because I knew he lost the mayor, because I know he's not the mayor.
Well, that I also know
like,
he's not the mayor.
So I feel like real life problems.
Sure.
Spoilers.
But he was going to, like, because he goes in and he's like, yeah, I'm doing this campaign. Like,
right, but I think it's beyond the man. I don't think it's just about him. It's about the whole idea of never backing down when you really should. And what does it mean to really should back down when you really shouldn't? Because it's the anti-American dream to do that. And not even that. And the movie, without saying it explicitly, although I think Anthony Weiner at one point does say it actually, is that where is the blame for other people when they're all laying in on him? Where does everyone else's responsibility about the tragedy or the scandal, if you want to even call it a tragedy, really, where does that fit in into this narrative? And he's trying to explain himself. He's trying to make the accountability spread around a bit more, but no one listens to him. And everyone, he has that one scene with that reporter when he's like, the reporter asks him, you sound very agitated when I ask you a question about the sex thing. He's like, yeah, I'm agitated because everyone keeps asking me. It's like my 10th time being in.
Yeah, he asked me seven times.
And then right after he says that, the guy asks him the question again.
Yeah.
The very second after. And he just gives him that look. And it's like perfect. So I figured like, I don't know. I just found that stuff fascinating. I don't know. Interesting. So I don't know. I'm not saying like this is going to solve anything. I just liked because it just made me think about like, it should be the media, too. It should be, like, he has that one scene in that when he goes to, towards the end,
but
he makes that final stand.
But that's not what's being said to us.
No, but it's being said through the motions of these films. The filmmakers are not saying much because they're just showing what happened.
Sure,
and
I get it.
And in the process of showing us that, I'm getting that out of it, so I feel like it's in there. You know?
I can understand where you're going with it, but at the same time, just because it's being said, and maybe that's what you took out of it. most people who watch this aren't going to take that out, aren't going to take out of that. It's going to be like, yeah, that shitty on the news. But we already know that the news blows everything out of proportion.
Yeah, but doesn't still give it an excuse. I'm not saying, okay. I'm not saying this is the first time that it's like being blown out of proportion or something. We know how scandals work. You know,
I'm not giving it an excuse like to get out of there.
That doesn't still make it right today as much as it made it right last year or 10 years ago.
Movie any different? Why is it any different for us? Is it because it happened in front of us?
Yes. Right? Yes. Because it happened in front of us, because it's something relatable to now. I mean, it happened last year, I think, right? 2014? 15? Maybe not. Maybe 13, this year.
I think.
13. Oh, yeah, you're right. It happened a few years ago. So it happened recently. And how else? It's like saying, like, we know the lesson already, but if they're still doing the wrong thing, if they're still doing it, then the only way to even bring it up is to keep making, like, to keep making these things, to keep making documentaries that exploit that, to keep making movies like Tabloid or other fictional movies.
But the movie
like
isn't
you
exploiting
have to keep,
that. That's the problem.
It is exploiting it's it by showing you what it's trying to show you. Like, it could have not shown you the reporters berating him the way he was. It could have just shown Anthony Weiner's response to that whole thing. Like, the reason we're getting the clips that we're watching at a certain time we're watching it is to elicit that. It's not saying it point blank because it's not going to be blunt or over the top, so to speak. It won't show you title cards of what it's trying to tell you. I think it's showing you by showing you these like web bites, these you know, whatever you call it,
clips.
I guess clips, sound bites. There you go, sound bites. That's what I'm trying to say about this problem. I'm not even saying the movie is, that's like the main thing about the movie. I'm just saying it's bringing it up without telling you that it's bringing it up. But I think it does it really well because it's showing you example after example of these reporters being whatever, you know?
I get that.
And you understand Weiner because of that.
I do understand Weiner because of that. But what I'm trying to tell you is that I already know that. I already know that that's a problem. I already know that the media is...
I mean, you know that racism has always been a problem in anti-homosexuality, but you like Moonlight just as well. You know that before.
I understand that, but there's a...
Where's the difference?
But he doesn't know the community of which he was brought up in. None of us know. This is a whole new thing. Whereas media scandals and the media blowing shit out of proportion, that's a daily thing.
Where is it, I guess...
Put it into the context of a mayoral candidate today.
Where is it that...
That's new for that.
Where is it that I can... I guess... What else is it bringing to light for me, besides his point of view? I got that point of view, and that's fine. And he's literally just trying to fight through it, right? And he fights. I mean, good for him.
He's almost like
a
Greek character, Greek tragic character.
Yeah, he just can't win.
Yeah, he can't win. Right. He has to keep pushing that boulder. And
sure, exactly.
He can't keep it in his pants.
You fucked up. Right.
I heard he went to rehab after the movie came out for sexual addiction or something.
Regardless, anyway. I don't know.
That should have been a nice title card.
No, after the movie came out.
Well, you could still put that out.
Well, they didn't. Anyway.
So, yeah, I just, like, what else enlightening is it bringing to me? Like, it's like you bring something, you have to give me, you gave me the different perspective, which is his perspective.
Right.
And I've always felt bad for the politician or the person who has to fight against it on the other side. Because I always know that they're getting shafted from the media because the media is just literally like, oh my God, you turn your neck the wrong way and like, heaven forbid, you know, everything's just blown out of proportion. So, like, what can I do for that to change that? Or what can we do to change that? You get what I'm saying?
No, okay. I think you're asking for a lot more than the documentary is trying to give you. It's like the documentary, put it this way, it's like a really good genre exercise movie. It's not meant to, like, give you an answer. I just think it's fascinating to watch. I didn't say give you answers or anything. I don't think, it doesn't... Right, all the stuff combined or separately, yeah, we've seen all this stuff before, but we've seen every stuff in every movie almost. It's like, I don't think there's a... It doesn't have to transcend anything.
But there's not enough...
I just think it's a really good documentary.
There's just not enough besides his struggle, which it is...
Then what is missing for you? Though?
I don't know. I don't know what's missing for me. But what you're saying, what hits it for you, doesn't hit it for me.
No, that's fine. I'm just trying to understand why this movie has to be more than it is.
Well, I think you're making it more than what it is. That's what I'm trying to tell you from my perspective.
Right.
My perspective is that you're saying this like, all the media should be the biggest thing. Who should take accountability for some of this thing?
Right, but it's in the movie.
But it's maybe it's too subtle for me. Or maybe it's and like I said, I'm taking it through his perspective, right?
Right.
And I get that struggle and everything. But, like, for me, it's just like, dude, that's how the media is. Like, we know that was going to happen. And he even has that conversation where he knows the media is going to be like that.
Right, but even he gets thrown off guard every time. Not every time, but, like, sometimes where...
Well, you can't prepare for these things. It's like, how are they going to word this time to make me seem like a total shitbag?
Right, but he knows they're going to word something to make him look like a total shitbag, right?
Of course, yeah.
So, like, should he give up and just see it as it is and, like...
No, he's a man of ego. He's not going to give up.
Well, man of ego, is there a difference, really, between a man of ego and a man who's driven?
The man who's driven like if sex another girl.
Right. So that's the real difference,
that's the
really?
Real difference, yeah.
Now, here's my question for you guys. And maybe this might be the real point. Answer to all my questions.
He was driven at one point when he wasn't this height of his politician career, when he was a congressman.
I mean, put it this way. I have no idea what any of his points were to actually fix New York because none of that ever came up. Because that's how bad the scandal was.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, there's that scene where the reporters weren't even answering questions on that or asking questions.
Even when the people wanted it.
Yeah, nobody wanted it. It's a, and then we see sometimes like a guy off the street or a girl off the street say like I actually want to talk about the issues. I don't give a shit about his life.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But that's like one out of per 10,000 or something.
Right. Exactly. Cared.
And I'm one of those in the 10,000, by the way. I don't give a shit about personal life of somebody else.
To a certain extent, you're right.
To 100. I mean, almost 100% to any extent. I don't care what they do. But how is this though? Do you guys care? You know Anthony's Weiner's story in the cat scandal. Right. Would you not vote for him knowing the sexting thing?
I don't care about that.
I don't care about that, no.
Okay.
Now, if he's like beating up little kids in a dungeon or something, then we have things to talk about.
Beating up kids in a dungeon? Well, I think he'd be arrested. I don't think he'd be running for anything.
What he's not doing is illegal. It's a shitty thing he's doing, but that's his own personal life.
Right, right. I'm talking about shit.
His policies are good.
If we're talking about something illegal, he'd be arrested, obviously, so... Right. It's just politics that matter, right?
Right.
So, can you...
I mean, hey, like...
Knowing that...
Let's bring it in, like, right now.
You guys also understand...
It's his track record, also. Right. I mean, it's that, specifically, what he did, also. Yeah. Technically cheating, even when he wasn't, when they weren't together at that one point. Sort of separated, but not, right? According to what they said in the movie.
Well, mm-hmm. Not cheating. It's not cheating.
He's trying to hook
it
up with...
You gotta put it in to get cheating.
He's trying to hook it up with some other people, right? Mm. Or he's... releasing himself, pictures of himself, right, or whatever the case is.
I just think for all the trouble he got for it, he should have fucked her.
He might as well have.
No, I know, right?
Well, she looks better than the wife.
And there's that one scene, I forget who was doing it. It might have been one of those news reports, one of those rare, I guess maybe rare for the movie, positive news reports about, like, so he didn't actually do a lot, okay? He didn't meet Eric, he didn't meet anybody, he didn't kiss anybody, he didn't touch anybody, he didn't elicit prostitution from anybody, he didn't do anything illegal. All he did was send a few texts and did a few calls. That's what we're on him about. Like the way that he put that, I don't know who was it again, what clip of what news channel, but that was really kind of a well put thing in the middle of a lot of like just chaos of hatred. Or chaos. Is it chaos? Not 100%. Okay, well, clearly I just found it more interesting. I think it was enough for me. And I can't think of anything else the movie could have done.
I can't wait for you to watch this documentary in 3 years called Trump versus Clinton.
In 3 years? It's coming out next year. There's streaming on that fucker. What's that Michael Moore thing that's going on? That has a show called Trump Land or something?
Yeah,
what's that about?
I don't know. But I saw a clip from it.
What'd you see?
It was literally like Michael Moore sitting at a desk in front of an audience and just talking about like these like Trump points. But how he is and stuff like that.
Oh, like very, like, oh, like a documentary thing? Like
no, it seemed like
giving
it was
points?
Like a long monologue of him talking about Trump.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, I don't know.
No, it's not. You don't have to like it. I just wanted to make sure that.
Sure.
I just want to make sure that the credit is given to the filmmakers who are clearly showing us a point of view. I don't care how well known it is, but it's really well known and well shown, I mean. That is really well shown, I think, anyway. And that it's... that it's very still pertaining to today, and that just because we've known about it for 20 years that the media's been doing this doesn't mean that it should still be okay to continue.
Well, and their responsibility, right?
Or even congressmen should hold them accountable for what their lies are, right? Yeah, I guess.
Sure.
If they lied.
But the responsibility also doesn't just go for the media. It goes for us, too.
No, it goes for us, too. Yeah, totally.
So,
and it goes for the voters and the non-voters, people watching the movie, people who are rooting for who in whatever scenario, because it seems like everyone's a loser. Seems like nobody's a winner.
I think the biggest scummiest thing that the movie shows, which we already know, is another politician attacking them for that doing that thing. Basically,
yep.
You're running your campaign on the woes of the other person, which
yep.
is like oh, hey, well, at least I'm not gonna, you know,
what was that, the
send
boys?
Pictures, what send pictures of blonde? My, of you know, of my yeah. penis to other women or whatever. Like, well, great talking points there, guy. Great talking points. Like, you have yep. no plan whatsoever.
But if that happens on like presidential debates, it'll happen in a much lower case too.
But it has. Yeah. So yeah,
that's what I'm saying. That's.
Yep.
All right, so that's it for Wiener. You can find that, like I said, anywhere to rent or buy online, or I'm sure there's a physical copy somewhere. That is it for our show. You have been listening to another movie podcast. If you want to follow me for movie chatter on Twitter, you can do so at Armin Filmmaker. That's Filmmaker with A-R-M-E-N. Luke?
I'm going to be at Blind Noir.
Huff?
At Gamer Ralph with two R's and an F.
Right, and you can also, under Armin Filmmaker, I have an account on Letterboxd. You can follow my movie-watching stuff there. Feedback can always be sent to podmoviecast@gmail.com. Check out otherpodcast.com, as well as the show notes for all of our podcasts that has this information, for updates on the next show. Remember, we are a bi-weekly show, and we come out every other Friday. That's our release date, usually. Next time, on December the 2nd, we'll release our next show, and I think Luke has the movies for us that time. Do you remember what they were?
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
That's one.
The one of the Harry Potter universe.
Yep.
We have also Edge of 17.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And then Nerve.
Nerve, which correct. Is the, not indie, but kind of a movie that came out way earlier in the year, I think in March or May or April or something like that.
Right.
Came out way earlier. And that's available to rent, so you can rent that one in advance, guys, and check it out with us so you can hear us review Nerve, Edge of 17, which I know nothing about. It looks like a comedy. And then Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. That's the only one. Is that based on the book too or no?
Basically, you know how the book and their books are written by Newt Scalamander?
Yes,
you're
I
following
remember
Newt
now.
Scalamander of
I remember
his
now.
Adventure.
I remember now. Yeah, yeah. Okay, cool. Well, I can't wait to see it. So until then, my loyal cinephiles, I am Oscar.
And Luke.
Oh, and Ralph.
See you later.
Coffee and pie.
Coffee and pie? Oh, my.
You didn't hear it from me.
Words happened.
10 Cloverfield Lane is 99 cents rental.
Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of stuff 99 cents rental.
And then we got Maggie's Plan.
Yeah, I might rent that.
What is it?
Movie.
Oh, no shit. Oh, Ethan Hawke, the man who never ages.
Hey, you guys ready? I'm ready.
I was born ready.
Nice to meet you. Okay. We're starting with Arrival.
We're arriving.
Arrival. You guys both saw this together?
Yes.
And we high-fived after the movie.
With our penises.
So it's a low-fi, really, you guys.
No. Oh, they were high.
Full mass.
It's not that high. Full mast? That's what we said? Okay.
Wasn't half job.
Shut up!
You're really annoying.
I love you.
Yeah. No, you don't. All right. Five.
Hold on, my iPad's
four. You don't need your iPad for this. Four, three.
These are the people's names.
Two.
Anthony Weiner here.
Do you like my Weiner?
Let's get all the jokes out now.
Wiener.
Can I please talk to you?
Ralph said that Wiener's wife was hot.
I
disagree.
Huma?
Yeah.
I think she's hot.
I put in her ass.
I think Sydney Leathers is hotter.
Yeah, but she's meant to be like stripper hot. Like, it's clearly that's what you like. I like a real woman. I'm sorry. I think that's
what
the
her
difference.
Name? Huma?
Huma Wiener.
No, I thought she has her own name.
She yeah, because she's politics. Name. They always keep their own names.
Huma
I forget.
Abedin.
Yeah, that sounds right.
No,
anyway.
Ugh. She looks like she's like a plain Jackie Kennedy wannabe.
Jackie Ken?
Jackie
Kennedy.
Kennedy? Yeah, I can.
After I saw a picture of her, I was just like, ugh.
Okay, okay. Ugh. Hey, shut up. Three, two, one, okay.